We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
Yes. Definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is...
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just... would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God.
It's just... Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
We are Soul of a Gamer podcast. I am Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And every week we play a game and we tell you about the making of that game and a little bit review of how we felt the game did.
Yes, yes we do.
We hope you enjoyed our last week's episode.
Doom, correct?
Yes, Doom 2016.
Yes.
We really liked that game. It was a lot of fun for us, so.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. But this week, we are playing a much different game. In fact, so different, I don't even know what to really call it. So,
that's fair.
Immortality.
Yes. Fantastic, fantastic. Very weird indie game, as Scott was kind of alluding to. I don't know if you have a short description you want to say of the game.
Well, we'll do it after we do our what are we playing this week.
Oh, okay. That's fair. So what are you playing this week then?
I don't know. What am I playing this week? I think I'm still on Inscription. I've been playing a lot of that. I played a lot of Immortality, clearly.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think that's it for this week, except I'm jumping in the new world when it lets me, but a lot of the times it doesn't let me because it still hasn't fixed any computer issues.
That sounds awesome. Awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's not fun.
What you playing?
I played a little bit of Sifu.
I don't know what Sifu is.
Sifu is this martial arts game, and it's one of the probably best like hand-to-hand martial arts combat game ever. Every time you fail, you actually age a year. Yeah, but it's like a thing where you develop skills and you keep on getting stronger and everything, but it's a kind of a roguelike that actually has like a story of like a congression of missions, and it's a revenge story set in like Chinese culture, I believe.
Nice.
It's really cool.
If you want to play a fun kung fu game, check out Jade Empire.
I've heard about that one. I've been wanting to play it. I have not ever played that one, though.
It's very frustrating. I will tell you that right now. It's not easy to play, but it's made by BioWare. It's kind of, I want to say it's post Knights of the Old Republic, but pre... shit, what game did they come out with? Pre-Mass Effect. So in between those two games, or it's pre-Knights of the Old Republic. I don't know which. I can't remember. But it's good. It's really good. It's got an amazing story behind it.
Well, that's good, at least.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess let's just jump right into Immortality then.
Yes, please.
Okay. So we got Immortality here. This is a, what would you call this? I read what it was, and now I can't remember. It's like a film regression game of sorts.
Yeah.
The entire point of the game is you're just staring at film clips and you're trying to figure out certain items in the clip, which ones you can click to find other film clips. And on top of that, there's like reversing the clips to find hidden messages in the clips.
Yeah, it's a very unique exploration game within like a full movie title game. Almost the same limelights of... like Double Switch and Night Trap, but a little but
far more advanced.
Like one more movie and less video game.
Yeah, for sure. Let's just jump right into the making of this. The story of Immortality follows you as an unnamed protagonist who is analyzing old footage from several movies, trying to figure out what happened to several people who starred in each film. The mystery that surrounds the films will lead you to discover more than you bargained for.
Bum, bum, bum.
The making of the game Immortality starts with the game maker Sam Barlow, known for making games such as Her Story and Telling Lies. He announced he was working on a project known as Project Ambrosia in 2020 and alluded to it having more horror aspects than previous games he has produced. There's not a lot of info about the game, how the game is programmed, so the story will mostly entail the casting choices as well as the way the movies were shot. The first thing we can talk about is the script. The script for the game was about 400 pages long, although this is more than likely standard for games. In addition to the game script and the scenes that were needed for it, Sam had to make three movie scripts in whole as well. So not just like the parts that they used. Yeah, in whole. And I think they probably shot the entire thing, I would guess.
Well, and he at least wrote the entire script of the, all three entire movies, he said.
Yes.
So even the scenes that we didn't see, they have fully written out.
And
so
I wonder if they just recorded all of them and just
I hope they did.
That would be cool. This was all to give the actors more direction when it came to shooting for the scenes that would end up being in the game. Each script was generally the length of an average movie from the time period. Casting for the game started in 2021. This casting was done entirely on Zoom calls due to the COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. The cast for the game was Manon Gage as Marissa Marcel, Hans Christopher as John Durek, John Earl Robinson as Arthur Fisher, Cesar de la Torre as Fabio, Jocelyn Donahue as Amy Archer, Charlotta Molin as the One, Timothy Lee DePriest as the Other, Ty Molbach as Carl Greenwood, Katerina, Morhakova as Diane Willis, Michael Otis as Andrew Hessenberg, Joshua Slessers as Sophia Morgana, Brooke Ann Smith as Agnes, Justin Servio as Artist. I think that was Artist? I don't know why I put
Can't
Artist
believe you're going the whole cast.
Not the whole cast. This is just the people who were clicked on the most.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so this is not even the whole cast. It sounds fair. Like it, though. It does sound like it.
It does.
Miles Santo as Robert Jones, Daniel V. Growlow as Detective Walker, and Eric Evans as Eddie. Oh, sorry. Why did I put and? Eric Evans as Eddie and Julia Goza as Monk. Or, sorry, Julian Goza.
Okay.
Yeah. Big cat. That guy's in, seriously, that's not even probably a 1/4 the cast of the movie or the game.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fucking people involved in making this. Many of the people cast were the first choices by the casting director. Many of them didn't hear anything for months after doing the audition and were sent an email later saying they got the part.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because normally I feel like there's a lot of, like, the agent gets a lot of calls back and forth to talk about whether the person got the casting job so they don't.
Well, and there's usually, like, at least one set of callbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't know callbacks. There was one and done. And then it was, it took them months to actually reach out to him. But I'm assuming that's because pre-production has a lot to do with game making, not as much as with movie making.
Probably, yeah.
Let's see. Many of the actors tried to make the characters as real as they could. Charlotta, which I hate her fucking name, Charlotta Molin used David Bowie as an inspiration for her portrayal as the One, saying the idea of David Bowie in Labyrinth really made the character into something she really liked. Scenes for the movie had to be shot very precisely due to the nature of the game, where each scene was examined and re-examined by the player. In a more traditional movie, the scene might not be perfect, but the camera people might just shoot around the imperfections or edit them easily out in post. One of the outdoor scenes features a New York street where the crew had only 20 minutes to shoot because of the amount of door dashers that were zooming by on their bikes.
That's awesome.
Another scene that is famous in the game is one where the character Marissa Marcel is being interviewed by a TV host, and the TV host asks Marissa how old she is, citing a guess of 15 or 16 and saying she looks very young. This is a direct copy of an interview with actress Phoebe Cates, who is being interviewed by David Letterman following the release of the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yep. There are many scenes in the game, by the way, that's the creepiest fucking interview I think I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, dude, it's definitely up there. Like, yeah, all the interviews that he references in this game, if you watch the real interviews, they're all creepy as shit.
Yeah, and it's really weird to jump into it because you're almost like, what the fuck is wrong with Hollywood? But then you realize it's always been like that, so it's like,
well, yeah,
women have always been abused in Hollywood, unfortunately, and it sucks.
It definitely does. It's definitely getting better, but it's still got ways to go.
Yep. There are many scenes in the game where it appears that there is an actor for the game filming a scene in the movie that is being filmed in the game, which I know that sounds confusing, but it is totally how it is. They're filming a scene in the movie while filming a scene in the game while filming the movie.
Yes.
Literally, that's the level of meta that we're getting into right now. These are actually illusions, and all the footage in the game are filmed by professional film crews. Costumes played an important role in this game as well. Many costumes were made with the time period in mind. The costumes for the movie, first movie, Ambrosia, were made by looking at old photos of movie shoots and what kind of design costumes were made for the films. They also noted what people filming those scenes were wearing to make sure they were accurately portraying the film crew as well as the actors in the film. The team also had to keep in mind which day they were filming in the scheme of the fictional set, because a character in the movie might be in the same costume as the previous shoot, but the film crew would have changed clothes if they were filming on a different day.
True.
Which is insane. Imagine keeping that level of timetable to know, okay, in the filming process, while they're filming this fake movie that we're making a fake movie of for a real game, which again, meta.
Yeah.
We need to know if this is Monday, when this side character who's filming the fictional movie should be wearing its turtleneck, or Tuesday, where the side character should be wearing a t-shirt and slacks. Like, imagine that level of fucking timeline you have to have. I didn't put it in here, but they had a giant binder with all the information in it, and they called it the monster, which I thought was really funny.
it was a monster, though.
It was huge. It's crazy. Oh, I know. I did put it in here. It's the next line. They also had a giant binder, since many of the characters were also playing separate characters in the other games. That didn't put that they called it the monster, though.
I was going to say, like, that's definitely one of the craziest things, especially, like, for people who, like, Marissa's main character, she was playing all the different Marissa roles for all the different Marissa movies, but then all the different characters that her character played.
Yep.
And it got so meta, especially in the movie where there's two different versions of her.
Two of Everything. I think that was what it was called.
That's what it was,
All right. They needed to know which character was being filmed that day in order to plan for which costumes were needed. The crew also had an intimacy coordinator for the game. Since the game was going to feature a gratuitous amount of nudity as well as sex scenes, they made sure to have someone there who was in charge of making sure the actors were comfortable with the scenes they were playing in. In fact, the first person the actors met when they were called in to start filming was the intimacy coordinator. This is also how the actors first met each other, because they all met the intimacy coordinator at the same time, and before they even met each other, they met them, and they were all meeting her at the same time. It's really fucking funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's really smart, though.
I didn't even know they needed an intimacy coordinator. I didn't even know that was a fucking thing.
I'm glad it is. The job actually is really a recent job. It's only been around for the last like 5 years or so, but a lot more movies are doing it. Well, think about it. Like a lot of nude scenes in like old movies and stuff, you'll hear people talking about it. Like they had to film the nude scene with this person that they were doing the scene with while their family's watching, or the entire camera crew and everybody. Now it's all just intimate personnel only. So only the people that need to be there are in the room now. They clear everybody else out. It's just a lot more safer space for everyone who's dealing with nude scenes. I agree with it.
I'm surprised it took them so long to get an intimacy coordinator.
Oh, for sure. That, like, I it's crazy that it's only been around for like 5 years or so.
Yeah, very weird. This is also how the actors first met. Props played a crucial role in this game as well, since the props were very important to the game. To the gameplay of the game. I wrote that really stupid. I'm guessing what I meant, since the props were very important to the play of the game. The team had to make sure if a prop was in the scene, it was very purposely put there and used, which is also insane. Again, when a camera guy does this in post, when they filmed that fucking scene in what's the famous one from a couple years ago, Game of Thrones, where she's staring at a mirror and you can see someone's like coffee from
The Starbucks
Ziggy's
cup
or something, or Starbucks or whatever.
It was the Starbucks cup on the table.
You can see it in the fucking scene. Like, they can cut around that if they notice it and say whatever, who gives a shit? We'll get through that and not have to worry. In this game though, every single item needs to be in there, because almost every single one is clickable.
Yeah, no, so, and even like, items that they're like pantomiming are clickable too.
Yeah, and I don't remember if I put it in here or not. I don't think I did. They only shot each scene twice.
Yes, that was the craziest thing to me, because especially with how well a lot of this is acted, only shooting everything in two takes is crazy.
The only one I know that they went over on was this bathroom sex scene in Minx.
Yes, in Minx. It's when they're at the transvestite club where, or the cross-dressing club where he's the John's, or not John, Carl is cross-dressing.
Yep. And that was a 10-shot scene, I believe, is what they said.
Yeah, something like that.
Permanent use. Without this, the way the game works would be in jeopardy. One prop the crew had to make sure was good was the guns used in several of the scenes. Because of the recent tragedy of Rust, which they didn't say what it was, but we fucking know it was Rust, where actor Alec Baldwin shot Helena Hutchins due to a loaded firearm making it on stage, the team wanted to make sure that every precaution was taken when handling the firearms in the film. The prop specialist made sure to bring the gun to the actors before every scene where it would be used, and would point it at the ground and pull the trigger to show the clip was empty. Man and Gage would also point it at the ceiling and pull the trigger before the scene just to be sure it was safe to use. Which, I mean, smart. I can't even... Dude, I can't, like... On the outside, we hear about the Rust situation, right? And we're like, well, that sounds shitty. Someone fucked up. But on the inside of all that filmmaking, now everyone's fucking scared to pick up a prop gun.
Oh, no, seriously. Like, and that's just, like, a crazy thing. And a lot of times, like, you think, like, small things can happen and small accidents can happen. But that turned out to be a huge one. And nobody saw coming.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't think you should be playing with prop guns on scene.
No.
To be fair, they are props. So it's like you just figure that they won't be loaded. They've been checked. They've been safely handled and everything. And
that was what the case came down to. It should have been handled and should have been dealt with and not even been loaded.
There are people hired specifically to do that job. That is their one fucking job, is specifically handle this shit so there's no danger to anyone who's here.
Yeah.
And clearly they failed. But also, again, I don't think I'd play with a prop gun in general.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'd point it at anyone. That.
That's the big thing. It's just no matter what, prop gun, real gun, loaded, unloaded, never point at someone.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, and you know, that's what happened to, what's his name, Brandon Lee?
Yeah.
He was shot on.
Yeah, both him and his dad died on set, but I think one of them was shot. Brandon Lee was.
His dad died in a hotel. He died of like overdose on painkillers, basically.
Oh, okay.
His
heart was shitty. He died during the filming of a movie, though. They both
probably
died. Yeah. Yeah.
But he was in his hotel in Chicago, I want to say. But Brandon Lee, I know for a fact, he died on set, got shot.
Of the Crow, yeah.
Yeah. And they took a really long time to get him medical care, I think, too.
Yeah.
Because they're like, wait,
sure.
So is this like real?
Real?
What's going on here?
That's crazy, though.
Right. Some members of the crew were featured in dance scenes as well. Because of the need of the choreographed dance scenes, the actors were involved in scenes that would have 6-hour... The actors that were involved in the scenes would have 6-hour dance lessons before leaving to shoot a scene, then go back to the dance lesson for the next scene. Which I can't believe they would do. That sounds like, again, two takes.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck are you going to do?
Like, no,
that's
seriously.
The only way to do it. Most of the movie was shot in chronological order. This way, the scenes were already set up for how they would be displayed in the game. The team shot the game in 90 days, which is fucking crazy to shoot three movies. After shooting, and not only three movies, all the side scenes, too, and all like the game scenes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
After shooting was complete, most of the shots were treated to look like they were shot in the appropriate time periods. This way, people would believe that the movies were shot in the 60s, 70s, and 90s, respectively. During the post-work on the game, the team was trying to get the game on as many platforms as they could. They first approached Netflix. Their thought was there were already people who loved to watch things, and so this was a good place to start. They really wanted the game to be featured on Game Pass, however, with the thought that many people wouldn't buy something new that they didn't understand, but if it was free for them to play and they wanted to try something new, they would jump on the opportunity.
Super smart.
The game came out to glowing reviews, specifically calling the actors great choices for their roles. Manning Gage, who she's the person who played the main character, Marissa Marcel, really wanted to play the game, so she went out and bought an Xbox in order to do so. Charlotta Molin was also wanted to play the game, but her and her boyfriend only had a PlayStation, so they went over to Manning Gage's house in order to play the game with her.
So awesome that they all had like game parties and stuff to play the game together for the first time. Like, such a cool thing.
I didn't put it in here, but there's a great part in the NoClip documentary, which NoClip's awesome. I've used them for several of our episodes already, so they're awesome. it's Carl, the actor who played Carl, talking, and he's like, yeah, I went to a bar, and all these people are like, Carl! They just started telling me how they play the game, and they talk online together, and they hang out, and I'm like, and you've like, never what? Met nerds, dude.
No, seriously, though.
This is your first interaction meeting fucking nerds.
He was like so surprised that people even knew the character at all. Like, I didn't think this thing was gonna happen or anyone was gonna know about it.
Which is so stupid because you're like, what are you? You're in a game that got glowing reviews, and then you go to a bar and somebody wrecked nerds. And seriously, it's a game that specifically you have to zoom in on shit and press on shit, so you have to stop and freeze frame shit a lot. People are gonna recognize your fucking face. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, stupid. Everyone clicked on your butt, your face, your arms, your hands, what you're holding, what you're wearing. You were dissected to a crazy degree.
The game ended up winning a BAFTA for possibly narrative. When I went on the website for BAFTA, I was trying to figure out what it actually won, and it just says narrative.
I know they won for costuming, and like there was a whole, it was
I saw that in the
documentary.
Yeah, but when I went to the BAFTA website to see who won that year, the only thing they were on the list for was narrative. So I don't know what encompasses, but because when I clicked on narrative, it didn't really show a lot of information about what narrative means. I don't know what's involved in narrative.
That's
like
fair.
Costume design and shit could be involved in there, but they were not, like, they didn't say best narrative. They didn't say like best costumes. They just say narrative.
Trying to see if I could look it up real quick.
And the BAFTA Awards, by the way, are the British Academy Film something, something, something. Because Sam Barlow is a British man, I believe.
Oh, yeah. They were. They won the BAFTA for Best Narrative, and then they were nominated for Game of the Year, Technical Achievement, Artistic Achievement, Performer in a Leading Role, and Performer in a Supporting Role.
Yeah.
So it had a lot of nominations.
It did. At the BAFTAs, which doesn't mean shit, because I don't know anything about the BAFTAs.
I mean, it doesn't mean shit to you, but it means a lot of shit to people who know the BAFTAs.
Yeah, it does. Anyone who's ever wanted a BAFTA before.
Hey, award's an award, man.
I guess. All right, well, that's the making of the game. I really wish I would have had some more technical insight, but they really didn't talk about like the background of making like the technical parts of the game, which is really frustrating.
Yeah, I was kind of wanting to know more too, but maybe that's like a trade secret and they're going to keep doing it for other games.
Maybe, but still, I mean, it kind of like you can make that yourself right now, where you basically make each character clickable. You can add it, like, it's not hard to do.
True.
with JavaScript, but it's just, you know, I'd like to hear about it still and just like understand like what
that's
their thought
fair.
Process in making this was, what, why they chose the certain things they did in order to lead to these scenes, like what made them pick these items. Like, sometimes, you know, we mentioned and talked about there's a part in there where you can click on a cat that's not there, but it's supposed to be there, and it leads you to another cat, which I think is really cool. But what makes them decide those things? Like, what makes them decide to put the outline of a cat there that's not there and make it go to another cat in a different scene? Like, that
well,
stuff
I
would
honestly
be really fucking cool.
I think probably what happened was he wrote the stories out and then like sat down and like made the settings and stuff like that, all the sets, and then just like, okay, well, let's add a paper to click on. And when you click on this paper, what four scenes it could it lead you to?
Yeah. I just feel like NoClip should have maybe asked these questions instead of focusing so hard on the acting part of it.
I mean, the acting part of it's such a huge part of it, though, so I understand it, but
I think they could have went deeper into the technical stuff, though, too.
I agree.
Because they talked to him about other stuff, like his inspirations. There was some stuff I didn't put in here, guys. Like, there's like this whole thing about this other actress who ended up committing suicide at the age of 40 because she was abused so bad in Hollywood, and that was like a big inspiration for the lead role and stuff. But like, I would have appreciated them asking a little bit more questions to him about, hey, you know, we've got the reason you made the game, and let's talk about how you technically made the game, you know?
True.
But, oh, well. That's let's fair. Just move right into our best and worsts.
Yes. So best for me, obviously, we were talking about earlier, the acting is just incredible in this game. All the sets and everything are just incredible. Like, the just every aspect of the movies themselves are brilliant. Like, I want to watch all three of these movies. I want full versions of these movies to come out.
Like, I need them. The only one I'd be super interested in is probably Minx. Like, the Ambrosia looks kind of dumb, I'm not going to lie.
Ambrosia looks kind of dumb, but it looks like that kind of, like, cheesy old dumb that's just, like, is so great for, like, old-time movie lovers.
Yeah.
I definitely think Minx and Two of Everything are going to be the most interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, my best is clearly acting. I think that they did a great job with that. I did like the format of the gameplay.
Yes.
But my worst is, why didn't they put the number of scenes you needed?
Yeah. You know, no, I mean, I agree. Having some sort of counter.
Because a counter, they already show you the scene number in the beginning.
Yeah.
So if you realize that, then you can just quit your run and do a different run and then count the number of scenes for each thing, and then you'll know exactly how many you need. True. It's just kind of annoying that they didn't do that. Like, they didn't put a counter in, because I feel like that could have helped me a lot and not make me go look up how many scenes I'm looking for, you know?
Yeah, no, it gets to a point, like, especially if you're trying to 100% this, you're almost going to need a guide.
Yeah.
Because it just gets too hard to find everything on your own.
Kind of, you could go into each, here's the thing, and this is the most annoying part, and this is what took me the most time. You can go into each clip, and you can click on each thing.
Yes.
Okay? And this is what I told you before, where I was like, why does the same chair get me to 10 different scenes?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem, is you'd probably have to go into each clip, click on each thing at least 5 to 8 times, and hope that it took you to all the scenes, because sometimes it would take you to the same scene 6 times, and then on the 7th time you do it, it would take you to a different scene.
Yep, and sometimes just fast-forwarding a little bit or rewinding a little bit and seeing it at, like, a little different angle can put you at a different scene too. Like, there's so many tiny little minute things you can do, and
which
it changes
cool.
everything.
It
yeah,
really
it's amazing.
Cool, but having that counter would, like, even putting a counter for the number of things that are in there that you can find, you know, number of things in
true.
The scene. I would appreciate that. Or I just appreciate having the total number of scenes, a counter for each movie scene, a counter for how many reverse fucking shit you have to do when you're looking for all the one and the other scenes. Like,
yeah.
Like,
and I mean, you can even, like,
something more.
You can organize the clips even just, like, per movie. So, like, why not just, like, at the top, just, like, Minsk, 1 out of 79 or whatever it was. Yeah.
I think it's 50 new...
I can't remember. I know, like, one had, like, 60, one had, like, 70 or 80.
Ambrosia had the most. Ambrosia, I believe, had 78. Mm-hmm. Minx had the second most at, like, 50-something.
No
and
idea.
I think the last one had over 40.
Okay.
I 100%ed it, so I know. That's the only reason I know.
I'm so close. I've gotten all the clips. I just haven't gotten all the secrets.
You haven't? Those are the easiest, because I don't watch every clip. I was just, like, fast forwarding through them all to find, like, the rumble points.
That's for you.
And then I was like, here we go.
I watch every clip because I was so intrigued by everything.
I did that the first time, and then after
that's true.
I'm just looking for secrets, I'm just rewinding to find them.
That, and I also watched Jin play it too, so I got experience it a lot.
This leads me to another worst, by the way. I think the way they did this was a little bit annoying. This is a really long process to go in and watch every single clip, especially when there's not a lot of interesting things happening in certain clips.
I mean, I was always intrigued throughout the entire time, so even though it was kind
of
annoying,
some of them were just so uninteresting, and those ones would be the longest ones, and you're like, okay, well, this isn't part of the movie. This is just a side thing they're doing, and if you find the hidden thing, it's just someone getting fucked again. Like, that's pretty much 90% of the secrets were just someone getting fucked, which was also annoying.
No, there's so much to those stories, though. If you pay attention to them all, they're so important.
Like, well, if you reverse this part, everybody's naked around the table, and you're okay, is that the secret I get to see?
Not only all the reverses, but the reverses on the reverses. Like, some scenes you could reverse up to 5 times. Like,
I think the most I found was 4.
That was 5, I'm pretty sure.
I thought the interview was 4.
Or maybe it was just remember. 4. I don't remember. Maybe, but the interview was the longest
one. You really had to pay. And it's not even that. You also have to forward through them, too. And you're like, damn it, I have to go both directions now.
Well, because you reverse, and then you got to reverse the reverse. So you got to go forward now. And then you got to,
A lot of hidden stuff, guys. So But yeah,
the hidden stuff is the best part.
Yeah, the best to me is the subterfuge.
Acting.
The acting. 100%.
Yeah.
One thing that I really was upset about, again, that they didn't mention any of the music.
The music is so good.
Yeah, there's a good amount of like sounds in this game that are really a little bit annoying because it makes you think that you're onto something, but really they're just ambient sounds that are in the background.
So the heartbeat.
Before I started playing that, I should listen for the heartbeats. And I'm like, I find them and I'm like, what do I do with this heartbeat? Why is it now fading away from the scene? Well, when I reverse, now it's gone completely. Does that mean something? And I had to go look it up and they're like, the heartbeats don't mean shit. Whoever told you that's a fucking idiot. And I was like, yeah. He is, isn't he?
I didn't tell you to listen to the heartbeat.
You did. That was the first. You said, feel the vibration, switch to a controller.
I said, you'll feel the vibration.
And listen to the heartbeats was the other thing you told me.
You said, you'll hear heartbeats. I didn't say you listen for them.
But why would you mention that if they're not important?
I mean, fair. You got me there. But I didn't say to listen for them.
You did. I'm telling you.
I just said, you will hear them.
But the heartbeats don't mean anything. And like all these sounds, they're just kind of, I don't know. It's like they didn't put a lot of time into the actual music for the game, which I would have appreciated a little bit more.
The music is the best part, one of the best parts, especially the candy song.
Yes, so like the certain songs are, but I'm talking about the ambient sounds all around, because a lot of it's blank, right?
Well, I know, and a lot of it's like really creepy. Yeah, and like,
and that's what
I
really liked it when the creepy music came in, but it came in so sparingly.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea, like, why did the creepy music start at this scene but not at this scene, which was way more scary.
Well, and sometimes it mattered and sometimes it didn't, but that was like, I don't know, that was so fun, though, to kind of explore that, because you had to, it made you explore everything. You weren't just exploring the clips and the visuals, you were exploring the audio and the clues it was trying to give you, too.
But, and in the end, the audio doesn't give you any clues, guys, so I'll just tell you that right now. It's all random.
Yeah. It is.
Which sucks. Like, it would have been cool. That would have been a really cool layer to have on there where you had to explore the audio.
True.
I would have liked that a lot. But again, I think they got a little, I think with everything in this game, focusing on the music would have been really hard. So that's probably why it's so much lesser than everything else. And the music they did put in is awesome. I just wanted a little bit more of it.
It is really incredible. I guess what is one of your like favorite moments of the game? Like, mine's definitely the candy song. Like, that one pulls at my heartstrings so much. I mean, a lot of the interpretive dance scenes and stuff too are really awesome.
Yeah, they're a little weird.
Some of them are a little weird.
The one, my favorite moment of the game, probably, it's just because it's funny. They're shooting a scene where her breast comes out, and then after the scene, they're just making jokes, and she's like, "What? You want to see it again?" And she just shows her breast again. And I'm like, "Well, okay."
See, that's funny though.
See, yeah, a lot of the scenes were very funny. They did a good job with the humor in the background of this game. I really enjoyed the humor.
I also really like the scene like where he's like in Ambrosio, where he's like fake stabbing the painting, and then the subterfuge film where she stands in front of him and then gets stabbed, and she's like, "Oh, that really doesn't do much."
Yeah. Like,
which that interview scene too is also incredible, like all the hidden stuff in that where they're talking about all the different ways to kill them and all that stuff.
The
I won't
way
give any
that
of that away,
but fire or whatever, and I think that's what made that last scene of the game so powerful, when she gets burned alive or whatever, like knowing that might be the end forever.
Yeah.
And you have really no idea.
Yep. And then like there's a lot of really cool hidden meanings in this game, too, that if you explore a lot, you'll find a lot of really cool things.
Yeah, we'll talk about the hidden stuff, at least some of them, when we get to the, why can't I think of the word?
Our final review?
No, not the final review, where you tell them about the hidden shit.
Oh, the hunt for all the eggs?
Hunt for the eggs, thank you.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that's my best and worst. I mean, I like the game. But there are some things that I think could have been added that would have made this game a little bit more ease of access for us.
Boo. So,
the count was huge for me all throughout the overview playthrough, where I'm just trying to get the achievements. I'm just like, God fucking damn it. If only I knew. If only I didn't have to go down and count every fucking clip I have to figure out exactly what I fucking need right now.
Yeah. I think as soon as you like get the ending, then like the credits start rolling and you get that ending, you should be able to go into it. It gives you a count then at that point, because that would be the most sense, I think, where it doesn't give anything too much away.
Yeah.
At the beginning, but
I agree.
I guess let's go into the first couple hours.
Yep.
So first couple hours, I think this game is kind of tough right at the very beginning, especially if you don't read the about game page. I didn't, and I was so confused, and I had to keep on looking up, like, what do the heartbeats mean? What does this do? Why am I doing this? Like, what is the point of this game? Like, it doesn't really give you a lot of direction, or not well enough anyways.
Mm-hmm. I will say this game fails the two-hour test for me, 100%. Even if you read the about page, this game is very slow to start out. The problem with this kind of game is it's like the plot thickens as you get more and more stuff unlocked, but you're so confused in the beginning that you're not really caring about what you're getting unlocked. So I didn't start getting really interested in this game probably till hour like 3 or 4, where I'm starting to have like all these scenes I'm watching, and now I just figured out the reverse scene part of this, and like to me that was when it got interesting. But the first 2 hours, because of the big learning curve, I think this fails that 2 hour test.
I don't think it was...
I read the about first thing and I'm still confused going in.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, like, an end-all be-all, but it's a nice little, like, kind of, at least some sort of a semblance of a guide.
Yeah, but, and their goal, too, I think this is another problem. They probably shouldn't have just laid out the goal, what happened to Marissa Marcel.
Why not? That's
because
the whole point.
That's not really, you don't think about that. By the end of the game, I kind of forgot that we were even wondering what happened to her.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, like, I was intrigued to find out what happened to her the entire time. Like, I primarily focused on her a lot at the beginning, and I think I found some of the subterfuge scenes earlier on, so I got really intrigued, because that scared the shit out of me the first time it happened. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And that, like, incited me so much that I was so intrigued to keep finding more, and the more I found, and,
so
like,
at no point while playing, you didn't say, like, well, why do I care what happens at this point? She's clearly just, like, an immortal being.
I didn't know if she was an immortal being fully or not. Like, I mean, at first, I thought vampires.
Which is an immortal being.
Well, I mean, it's an undead being. It's not necessarily immortal. Vampires can be killed. Immortals can't be killed.
Immortal in this sense is just that they live a long time. But I do feel like, I do feel like this game does fail that test, only because how much you have to get into it in order to enjoy it.
I feel like you, I
so if you don't
do
find
agree,
that first
the more
subterfuge whatever fucking scene in the first 10 minutes, then
yeah.
Well, what if you find it at hour 8? Like what happens at that point? Is that when you're interested? You know what I mean? Like, if it doesn't catch you, if it's not an automatic catch, I think it fails the test for me.
I will agree with that to a certain extent, sense, because especially, like, I'm a huge, huge, huge movie lover, movie buff, so this already was insanely intriguing just from the get-go for me.
Yeah, but for someone who's just a casual watcher or doesn't really give a shit, like that's the problem. The point in the two-hour test is, will it catch almost everyone's attention within 2 hours? And if it's no, then I can't give it that pass, you know? And then for
that's
me, it
fair.
Wasn't. I kind of got bored playing for the first 2 hours. Honestly, I was bored through a lot of this game because a lot of it is just sitting and watching. There's not a lot of engagement with that, unfortunately. It's cool that there's this giant plot, but without the gameplay aspect of it, you kind of lose a lot of interest.
But that's the whole thing, is it's not about gameplay, it's about the story. It's kind of like the opposite of what we always say that with video games. It needs to be a good story or good gameplay. This one's just like, I don't care about gameplay, I want to make an amazing story.
Yeah.
And so that's what all the focus was.
And I understand that, but we've also said, like, if you have an amazing story, it can outweigh the gameplay. But I think gameplay still plays a significant role in this game.
It does if you're seeking out...
Yeah.
To have gameplay, but if you're okay with it not having gameplay.
I think we're
going
to have to disagree on this one.
That's
fair. Unfortunately, the gameplay did not sell this game for me on the two-hour test.
Well, yeah. I say this game doesn't really have gameplay. I agree with that full-heartedly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm saying it failed. Steven's saying it passed. So this is about a 50-50 there. You guys might like it. You might not like it in the first 2 hours. It just depends on how you play the game. I don't think it's very good in the first 2 hours, but I also like being gripped in my first 2 hours very heartily. So
that's true. That's very true. All right. So next we'll go into Steve Achieves, talk about some of the achievements. So immortality is achievement in this game. It reached the credits and it says, I am a part of you now. 7.78%. This one's a fun one. It's kind of like an Easter egg thing too of terminology in Hollywood. Chekhov's gun, for collecting three guns. And it quotes one of the segments in the game where she says, if you want to kill the mother of God, you will need a better weapon. Which I always like that. But Chekhov's gun, if you guys don't know, it's if you ever see an item or they focus on an item in a movie, like a gun specifically, like, oh, there's a gun on that countertop. That gun will come into play later on and it will be used to kill somebody, typically. Also, the achievements, what I really loved about this game and one of the things is not only are you finding out what happened to Marissa, but you also get to find out what happens to a few other people, mainly John, Carl, and Amy, and those are all achievements in the game, and those are definitely worth seeking out.
Yeah. I will say achievements in this game were a little bit too easy.
Yeah, besides, like, the collecting all of them, I would agree.
Yeah, like, they were very, like, click on this character three times in three separate scenes, and you're like, oh, well, that's easy. Bam, bam, bam. You know, you click on one, and you immediately find two.
But, I mean, without any gameplay, there's not really a difficulty spike you can have with the cheat bands.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have done if there were music cues, too, maybe the achievements could have gotten a little bit more difficult, but I'm not too sure about that one.
Maybe. But, yeah, that's changing the game of dynamics and stuff.
Or even like saying like watch all these scenes in a specific order, that would be fucking hard.
Them all in their call card order, that would be
no,
fun.
No, like unlock them all in a specific order, so you'd have to get
oh god unlock them all.
Oh my god,
that would be impossible.
Not impossible, but very unlikely.
Pretty much, that's fucking RNG to the extreme.
Yep. And that would be sweet. Imagine the hours people would spend on doing that.
I don't know if anyone would go for that shit.
I bet there'd be 0.01% at least.
I don't even know, dude. Even for movie lovers like me, I don't think I could ever take the time to try to get something like that.
Oh my god, you have to restart the game. What if you got all of them except for the last one and the last one got fucked?
I'd be pissed. It'd be the worst thing ever, especially because it'd take you like 19 hours.
I think they'd cap it and do like only 10 scenes or something if you were going to do it like that.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Find the first 10 scenes in a row.
Yeah. But I mean, it'd be kind of interesting to I guess like that would be an interesting one to make it more difficult. It would be finding ones that like watch the movie in chronological order. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out what the chronological order is, give it a little bit more of a puzzle aspect to it.
That would be cool. Honestly, that would have been a really cool aspect of the game, just to give it a little bit more gameplay.
Right?
How do these scenes match up with each other? They have the
See, that's a sequel. We have to edit these clips and actually turn them into the full movies.
That would be fucking sweet.
I'm down. Honestly, dude, let's do it. But yeah, another reality is another achievement in this game. It's for seeing all the subterfuge footage. Only 0.87% of people have done this. This is daunting, and you pretty much need a guide to do it. You need a guide to pretty much find all the clips, and then just going through all the clips to finding all the hidden shit in it.
Yeah.
So the other one was Cinephile. I just love the name of that because that's just, I think it's funny that that's what people call movie lovers is cinephiles. Collecting every piece of footage of the game. 1.55% of people have done that one.
I mean, they call kid lovers pedophiles, so
I hated sense. That. Like, I was like, why do you have to use like the same thing as file? Like, can we do like cine lover or something different?
The comparison to pedophiles.
Like, does it have to have such a love and intensity for it that it's gross and weird?
That it's gross.
Next segment for the hunt for all the eggs. I actually didn't really write anything for this one because I felt like the documentary stuff we were going to be talking about is like primarily where all the hidden stuff is. It's more like homages to things. There's not actually like direct Easter eggs necessarily for anything.
Like, you think about the achievements, if there were direct Easter eggs, like find this Easter egg would probably have been an achievement, and there were no achievements for find this Easter egg, you know?
True. I mean, there was, just like find the keys or find the bird and the snake.
But you can find those. It's not like those are in one place. You can find them in multiple scenes and everything.
Yeah, for
sure. That's where the Easter egg thing normally comes in. You find a very specific thing that's in a very specific place that's put there for a very specific reason, you know?
True. I guess that's it for that. So I guess we go on to our final reviews of the game.
All right. So I think this game is a solid 3.
Okay.
It's middle of the road. I liked it. I liked the story a lot. I think it was good. I do think that the non-narrative approach to the story, the fact that everything's kind of put in out of order, makes the story a little bit harder to follow. Mm-hmm. So after you play the game, I would highly recommend going and looking up like a streamlined version of the story, because after I did that, I had no idea still what I was doing or why I was doing it. So I went and looked at the story. I'm like, oh, this story is actually really fucking good. I really wish it was like in order so I'd understood it. But I understand that there's an art around that. So I know that they didn't put it in order for a reason. And I get that they're not going to shoot all the movies. If they would have shot all the movies in full, and after you beat the game, you can watch each individual movie.
That would have been an awesome unlockable.
This is a 5 out of 5. That's it. But that because they didn't do that. Yeah, they didn't do that. I'm giving it a 3. I'm middle of the road. I liked it, but I can see myself putting it down and never picking it up again.
So I don't think since we've revamped that I've given any game a 5 yet, but this is going to be my first perfect 5 of the new set. This game is everything to me. I love every part of this, and honestly I think what really, like, I already was in love with this game when I first played it. This is my second playthrough of it, but also playing it side by side with Jen and watching her explore it was really interesting, because I didn't try to get all the clips, so I was, when I was watching her, I was seeing things that I hadn't seen before. And she was doing things in a whole different order than I did, and focusing on things in a different way than I did. And just having that other mind there to kind of explore with you and explore in a different way. So it showed me a lot more of the story, and then it got me more intrigued in it. And I just fell in love with everything, and puzzling all this together, honestly, is one of my favorite part. I had lots of like long like thoughts, and like was writing stuff out like, oh my God, this character is connected to this character. Oh my God. Oh my God, they've been all the characters. What in the world? Like, this story gets wild. It gets crazy. It gets way out there. It's not what you ever think it's going to be. Like, even as much as we've said.
Put in a narrative version of this where you could watch the story from front to back and see, like, it exactly how they wanted you to see it without having to jumble up things, this would have been so fucking cool for me. Because honestly, the story is really good. Like, they did a great job. This alone in a movie would have been fucking cool.
Yeah. Well, and seriously, and all the things that he was trying to say and all of the homages to actors and actresses that he put in here are incredible, and highly, highly recommend the documentary that was No Clip, he said, that did that.
Yeah.
Highly recommend watching that as well with this. Explains a lot more of the story and the characters.
They do a great version on the Doom, too. They did an awesome three-parter on Doom.
But yeah, no, this is just incredible, and especially for any movie lovers, I think this is the best, like, game for movie lovers there's ever been, because it feels more like a movie than it does a game. And I think that's where I agree with Scott's reservations with it, because it's not very much a game at all. It's more of a movie than it is a game. The only game aspect of it is really just puzzling it together and exploring it, but that's not much to it. So if you want more of the game in it than, and actually like more inputs from yourself, then you probably won't enjoy it as much. But if you're okay with sitting back and enjoying a good story, this is going to be perfect for you.
For sure. All right. Well, that was Immortality.
Yes.
Immortality.
Wah-ha-ha. And it is on Game Pass for all those who want to play
that. No, it's not on Game Pass anymore.
Oh, no, it was. They it got off taken off.
Yeah. It's $20 outside of Game Pass, so it's not too much.
Yeah.
No. Next week we are playing
Gravity Rush.
Gravity Rush, a PSP game.
A PS Vita.
Vita. Same fucking thing, right?
It was the two analog stick portable system.
Yeah. They really tried to knock Nintendo off and failed miserably on every attempt.
Oh, dude, all their handheld things were kind of... I had the PSP for the longest time, but...
I mean, it's a cool idea, right? Make a fucking little handheld PlayStation, and then working it in practice, you're like, I've definitely fucked up.
Which, honestly, I used it for movies more than I did it for games a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Besides...
First time I played Conker's Bad Fur Day was on a PSP.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, because that's where they... That's one of the things that they remade it on before they did all the others.
First time I ever played Grand Theft Auto was on a PSP.
Oh, gross.
I think it was like a Liberty Cities one. Yeah, well, I wasn't allowed to. Yeah. So Somebody on the cross country team had it.
So, yep, we're playing Gravity Rush next week, and we will catch you guys on the following week.
Yes. All right. We love you.
No.
Bye.